حضرت والا عارف باللہ کا کلام. وی آر لسننگ ان شاء اللہ ٹو ریپیٹ فیو اشعار ان شاء اللہ سیم. سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانہ نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں. سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانہ, سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانہ نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں. کسے جگہ کھولا کسے غمیں جان او دل سناؤں, کسے میں زخم جگر دکھاؤں. سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانہ نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں. یہ دنیا والے تو بے وفا ہے, یہ دنیا والے تو بے وفا ہے, وفا کی قیمت سے بے خبر ہے, وفا کی قیمت سے بے خبر ہے. پھر ان کے دل کو پھر ان کو دل دے کہ زندگی کو جفا سے آہنگ کیوں بناؤں. کسے غم جانو دل سناؤں, کسے میں زخم جگر دکھاؤں. یہ بت جو محتاج ہے سراپا, یہ بت جو محتاج ہے سراپا, غلام ان کا بنو تو کیوں کر, غلام ان کا بنو تو کیوں کر. غلام کا بھی غلام کا بھی غلام بن کر میں اپنی قیمت کو کیوں گھٹاؤں. کسے غم جانو دل سناؤں, کسے میں زخم جگر دکھاؤں. یہ مانا ہم نے چمن میں خوش رنگ, یہ مانا ہم نے چمن میں خوش رنگ, گل سے بلبل ہے مست و شیدا, گلوں سے بلبل ہے مست و شیدا. مگر نشے من مگر نشے من جو عارضی ہو تو اس کو مسکن میں کیوں بناؤں. سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانہ نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں. مجھے تو اختر سکون دل گل, مجھے تو اختر سکون دل گل, ملا تو بس اہل دل کے در پر, ملا تو بس اہل دل کے در پر. تو ان کے در کو تو ان کے در کو میں اپنا مسکن صمیم دل سے نہ کیوں بناؤں، کسے غم جان دل سناؤں، کسے میں زخم جگر دکھاؤں، سوائے تیرے کوئی ٹھکانا نہیں ہے یا رب، نہیں ہے یا رب جدھر بھی جاؤں۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عبادی الذین اصطفى، اما بعد۔ فرینڈز، ان اے فیو منٹس ویل ٹرائی ٹو بریفلی ٹرانسلیٹ دیز اشعار وچ آر اوشنز آف نالج اپان وچ انسائکلوپیڈیاز کین بی ریٹن اینڈ مینی مینی لانگ لانگ لیکچرز کین بی ڈیلیورڈ۔ بٹ ان اے فیو ورڈز، دا پین آف دا ہارٹ آف اے ٹرو لور آف اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ، ہی ہیونگ ایلسٹریٹڈ، وی ول ٹرائی ٹو جسٹ ڈو اے لٹل ٹرانسلیشن ہیئر۔ حضرت والا رحمۃ اللہ علیہ ہیز entitled this poem, Sukoon Dil Dar Majlis Ahle Dil. That contentment of heart we can only find in the company of the people who really have heart. Everybody has got heart, but those people who have got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the true value of life and the object and the purpose of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world. In the first couplet, Rasulullah says, سِوَائِ تیرے کوئی ٹھکانہ نہیں ہے یا رب، کدھر بھی جاؤ۔ That, oh my Allah, besides you, I do not find solace, I do not find place of peace anywhere, wherever I may go, whatever it may be, whatever avenue I may try to follow, I only find solace at your doorstep, at your threshold, in your remembrance. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Sharif, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is contentment of heart. So, oh Allah, only at your threshold, only in your remembrance, only in your obedience do I find solace, do I find peace. Otherwise, wherever I go, there is absolutely, there is just, everything is helter-skelter, everything is just in a quandary, there is nothing, there is no place of peace. As Hazratullah rahmatullah says, kise ghame jaan aur dil sunao, kise mein zakhm jikar dikhao. That in this world, everybody is running in every other way, every other avenue, looking for peace of mind here and looking for peace of mind there. Are there any takers? Is there any? Who must I show this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this flame of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has blessed me with? Who can I transfer it to? Is there anybody who will value it? Like we learn here always, the dead person who knows the value of something, he will appreciate it. A shoemaker does not know the value of a diamond. Take it to the jeweler and he will know it. So those who will appreciate and understand the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will appreciate it. Oh Allah, are there any takers? Is there anybody that can, the pain of the heart, the flame of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can I transfer it to? Who is there? Who can I teach it to? Who will really value it? Further, Rasulullah rahmatullah alayhi says, ye duniya wale to be wafa hai, wafa ki qeemat se be khabar hai. That all the people of this world, friends that we think, and now these are my fishing friends, and these are this friends, and those are, they will be going out for sports or for business. All these people, they are only friends until their object is fulfilled. Right? They don't know what is loyalty. They don't know the value of being loyal. And loyalty, true loyalty is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when the people of this world are so disloyal, they don't have loyalty in their heart, then why must I give my heart to them? When I know that in the end I will be disappointed, rather dil usko de jisne dil ko dil liya. Rather give my heart to that being who gave me that heart, and that being who is always there to accept. That I just have to take one deep sigh, and my Allah is there. That Allah has put into His own name, Allah. Rather I give my heart to my Allah. For Allah rahmatullahi says, پھر ان کو دل دے کر زندگی کو جفا سے آہن کیوں بناؤں؟ Now when these people don't even know the value of being loyal, why must I give my heart to them? Why must I soil my life with oppression, jafa, oppression? That in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to find some pleasure, some temporary enjoyment, some temporary entertainment, now I'm going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I soil my life with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Brother, ye dukh jo mohtaj hai sarapa, غلام ان کا بنو تو کیوں کر؟ that these people, all the people of this world, all the entertainment and all the things of this world, now person has gone hot air ballooning, and then he's gone bungee jumping, and then he's putting his life in danger, and then he's going for motorsports, and then he's going for this, looking for pleasure here and there and everywhere else, besides in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said that that is where sukoon is, that is where there's contentment of heart. So all these things which are temporary, they are going to fade one day. One day it's going to come to an end. So why must I give my heart to them? Why must I become their servant? These people around me, they are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why should I become a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? Allah has given me this heart, Allah has given me this life. Let me value it and give it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that also for my own benefit. Like as Allah teaches us, that is whatever we spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we just changing it from one bank account to the other. From the temporary bank account of the soul into the permanent bank account of the akhirah. Like that, we're giving everything over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to be only for our benefit. So Allah says, Hulam ka bhi, hulam bankar, main apni qeemat ko kyun ghatau? Why should I become the slave of those who are slaves? They are the slaves of their passions. They are the slaves of lust. They are the slaves of temporary enjoyment. The slaves of the pleasures of this world. I must become their slave, and all these things are going to come to an end one day. Why should I do such a funny thing? Why should I do such a stupid thing? Why should I lower my value by doing something which is not logical, which a person is beyond comprehension? How can I become a slave of things which are temporary? Rather, I become a slave of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is permanent. Further, Allah rahmatullah alayhi says, Ye maana humne chaman mein khush rang, gul se bulbul hai mast shida, magar nasheeman jo aarzi ho, to usko mastan mein kyun banaun? That I understand that in this world, in the garden, there are many beautiful flowers, and the nightingale, the birds in the garden, they are flying from flower to flower, the butterflies, they are enjoying themselves. But then they say that these nests, which are so temporary, which are going to come to an end, why must I make it my permanent? Why should I make it the object of my life? There's so many beautiful flowers in this garden. There are so many things that a person feels in this world. I'll do this, I'll get pleasure. I'll do that, I'll get pleasure. I'll do this. And he sees that he does it. And then there's a void in the heart. There's an emptiness in the heart. Person doesn't feel complete. Now he has to do something else. Now he has to go to hiking trails. And now he has to go to do this. And now he has to go to do that. All the time looking for pleasure. A person does an action, he thinks, I'll find solace here. And then becomes tired of it. But the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that yaman, the sickness, so to say, by way of example, the sickness of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the more I took medication, the more the illness increased. The more I set my foot in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now the yearning and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became even more. Now people around me cannot understand. They'll say, he's a majnun. This person is in the world of his own. He's sort of mad. Just leave him. He's a dry person. But what enjoyment he is getting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that only he knows. And then finally, Nazir Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Mujhe to akhtar sukoon nadi ghar, mila to bas ahle dil ke dar par. Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi, taking his own name, but giving nasihat to us all, advice to us all, that if you want the real solace, if you want real peace of mind, real contentment of heart, then you will find it only and only in the company of those people who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, kunu ma'a sadiqin, stay in the company of those who are sadiqin, who have proven themselves in the field of taqwa, who are the close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So unke dar ko main apna maskan sameen dil se na kyun banao? Then this is the case that sukoon adil, contentment of heart, is only at the threshold of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then isn't it just right that I should make that threshold the object of my life, but from the bottom of my heart, from the crevices of my heart? If you're looking for peace of mind, you're looking for contentment of heart, and this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it, so why shouldn't we just go there, and then we will achieve the object of life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me with understanding. First of all, give us all the deep to work and to make Allah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. The kitab Hayatul Muslimin, the different chapters by which a person will get, the Muslims will come out of all the problems which we are going through in the world, different prescriptions that Imam Rahmatullah has mentioned. Ruh number 9, taking special care to fulfill the rights of Muslims. Allah SWT says, O people of Iman, men should not mock at other men, for it may be that they, those who they mock at, are superior to them, the mockers. Nor should woman mock at other woman, for it may be that they, those we are mocking at, they are superior to them. That means the ones who are mocking. So never mock somebody else, because they may be superior to us. O people of Iman, refrain from abundance of suspicion, for verily some suspicions are sin. Nor should you some of you scandal about others, backbite. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to abuse a Muslim is an evil sin, and to fight with a Muslim unnecessarily is close to kufr. To abuse a Muslim is an evil sin, and to fight with a Muslim unnecessarily is close to kufr. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a man observing faults of others says, by way of complaint, and adopting a holier than thou attitude, considering himself free of fault, he says, people are corrupt, then this person will soon become the most corrupted, because he has despised the believers. So one is the person has got fikr and concern for others, and he's making effort to try to correct people. The person is showing a holier than thou attitude, and I am free from fault, and he says that the people are corrupt, and he has become the most corrupted. Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu narrated that he heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, a scandal monger will not enter Jannah, that is, without being punished. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, the one in the vilest of conditions will be a two-faced person. He says one thing in favor of one person, and then another thing in regard to the same affair to another person. A two-faced person. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you know what is ghibat? Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, Allah and the Rasul know best. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to speak about a Muslim brother such things which will displease him if he comes to know of it. Someone asked, what if what I say exists in the brother? In other words, if what I said is the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you say what is in him, then it is ghibat. And if you say what is not in him, then this is buhtan, this is slander, which isn't even a bigger sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all of these gunas and sins.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa idh qataltum nafsan fadara'tum fiha wallahu mukhrijum ma kuntum taktumun. Sadaqallahu al-Mawlana al-Azim. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah has given us great information and great principles that we learn. And now, at all times, the things which people are going through in this world, sometimes our iman is tested very hardly. We see things and it seems, why is this happening? Where is Allah? Why is Allah's help not coming to the Muslims? What is happening? So this ayat explains very beautifully in the tafsir of this ayat. Ulama Maulana Idris Kandelvi rahmatullah alayhi has explained the things very beautifully. This is actually relating to the time when in the Bani Israel, a certain person killed his uncle in order to get the inheritance. He was the sole inheritor. And his uncle wasn't dying, getting old, he's not dying. So he killed his uncle so that he could gain that inheritance. And then more than that, what he did, he took the body of the uncle and he went and threw it in a certain neighborhood, so that those people be blamed for the murder. And then he'll collect blood money from them also. So he wanted to collect his inheritance also. When he dies, he will get inheritance, and he will also get the blood money from those people that they had killed him, because he was the sole inheritor. From here, one very important point that we learn also is that the minute we leave divine law, the law of Allah Ta'ala, and we choose our own law, man-made, our desires, or man-made laws, that is the stepping stone to destruction. And a person's success is to return again and come to the law of Allah. And Allah is so merciful and kind, Allah has left the door of Tawbah open. Make Tawbah sincerely and come back to Allah. And we obey the laws of Allah Ta'ala, that person will be successful. Like from here we understand also, many people take out insurance policies also, which is haram. And they take out many, for example, there are different types, for example, life insurance. Now when we take out life insurance, there's very, when they sell you and they advertise the insurance, they will put it in one, certain things they will put to us. When you die, your family will get so much money and then they can live comfortably, they don't have to depend on anyone. So it looks all very nice. Just like also sending our girls to earn. That they learn a profession, they go to university, they earn. On the one side, that if the husband dies, then she can look after herself. But they don't show us, shaitan doesn't let us look at the harms of the other side. That there are so many harms also. So like this insurance, we don't have to go much in detail. Every one of us are aware, people who took out this life insurance and for whom you took it out, that person killed you. Gruesome murders take place. Just recent, some grandchildren who killed their grandmother. And then many times the husband has the wife killed. Wife has the husband killed. These things happen all the time. So that they don't show us that. So the minute you leave divine law to trust on Allah, Allah will see to everything. And then we come, and in that process, there may be some difficulties a person goes through. But the end result, one is all the time, the sukoon of the heart, which we are hearing in the ashar, that a person gets. And the other is the end result, whether it's in this world or the real end result is the akhirah. Here there is another very important point also. Dunya is not our object of life. And this is a testing room. There is an examination hall. Like a person who is writing an exam, and if he brings food there, stretches his legs out and he's eating, he's got a radio also, he's listening to some music, some news also, he's not writing it, he says that I want peace and enjoyment. And he's enjoying the food, he's enjoying entertaining himself, everything, that person is going to fail. So we are here in this world, we are not here to enjoy it in akhirah. We have made this mistake that we are looking for the return of our deeds also. We are looking for them here in this dunya. The return of the deeds is in the akhirah. Yes, Allah gives the permission, you live a nice comfortable life here, Allah protects you, and we do it. But actually that is just by the way. The real a mu'min must do good deeds is not to live a good life here, it is for the akhirah. That is the real place where a person will get all. And this dunya cannot give us the returns of good deeds. One subhanallah, one alhamdulillah, the whole world and whatever it has got, and from Adam alayhi salam till Qiyamah day, whatever the world has got, can't be the value of one alhamdulillah. So great is the result. So that will only come in the akhirah. So this dunya is not our object. Today we have made the dunya. We are using deen also to make our dunya. We have to use our dunya to make our deen. The Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum awliya, they sacrificed all the dunya for the sake of deen. Today we want to save our lives also. And the deen we are prepared to change. But the Sahaba, they were not prepared to change one bit of the deen. And lives they gave for the sake of deen. And they were happy to give their lives also for the sake of deen. So we have to understand that this dunya is not the place. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah used to say, dunya mehnat ki jagah hai. This dunya is a place where you have to make effort. And hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Till mort comes to a person, the effort has to be till there. Or qabr, sone ki jagah. This dunya is not a place for comfort and ease. That will be in the qabr. Or dunya, or jannat, mazay urane ki jagah. And jannat will be the place where there will be utmost amount of enjoyment. So deen is not here for this dunya. It is for Akhirah. So anyway, so when we leave divine law and we go to man-made law to get immediate returns, to live a comfortable life, good house, good car, everything of this dunya, and we forget our deen. Or even mashallah, those people who do their deeny work, but still dunya is their object. And they also use deen in order to get dunya. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayh said that, tell the people the benefits of dunya also when practicing on deen. Then they will come on deen. Because today dunya we have made it the object. But really, those people who Allah has blessed with that level of iman, Allah bless us all, that they don't use deen at all for dunya, it is just for akhirah. And they take their food. And Allah Ta'ala, we know many, your du'as, if they were not accepted, you said, you think my du'as, but when you see what du'as there, what is the acceptance, then a person will wish that none of my du'as were accepted in the world, that I got it there, because that is the real place of return. When people will see, for the sake of deen, the mujahada a person made, difficulties, hardships he went through, on Qiyamah Day he will wish that I was skinned alive. Now when he sees the returns of it, but we are very weak. But really, the real returns are in the Akhirah. So the deen we practice, and we ask Allah Ta'ala, Rabbana آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Yeah, also our Shaykh جزاهم الله خير many times gave this bayan on this ayat. And what is حسنة في الدنيا? That Hazrat explained. We feel again our own idea of tafsir. There's a luxurious home, wonderful motor car, wonderful lifestyle. That is hasana fi dunya. No, hasana fi dunya amongst the tafsirs of it is ilme deen, knowledge of deen. That is the goodness when a person has got knowledge. And then fahme deen, he understands that knowledge. And then awlad is salih, pious children. Zawja is saliha, a pious wife. A pious wife. We want, if I got a beautiful wife, then that is I got hasana fi dunya. But it is a zawja saliha, a pious wife, that is hasana fi dunya. So all this year, that we have to understand that this dunya is not really the object of our life. Today, unfortunately, living amongst the non-believers, being influenced by them so much, their life is dunya. The object is dunya. وَهُمَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They are unmindful of the akhirah. Their life is only dunya. We also have become like that. Our education, our lifestyle, our business we do. The Sahaba should just do so much that is enough for them. But we make sure not only one bank we got an account, how many accounts we got. Investments, how many we make. So much, we make investments for so many, the children, the grandchildren also we start making investments. For worry is of dunya. And the Sahaba, they were not worried even for their children, but for Akhirat. So anyway, so whatever good we do, it should be really for the Akhirah. And then Allah Ta'ala, He gives dunya also, and Allah is most merciful, most kind. Allah will give. But those servants really who are very close to Allah, dunya, Allah Ta'ala gives everything there. And there is another fear also when we do it for dunya. Then Allah Ta'ala will say on the day of Qiyamah, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. All the good you did, you got your reward in dunya already. Now here today, there is no reward for you. Only a very disgraceful punishment will be there. If a person, like the Quran Sharif says, those who only make dunya fi dunya, dunya their object. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. They got no, dunya is only their object. And the most saddest part, which example of Hadrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi gives, is that a person, the rumal you used to put on your topi, for example, wear it on your head. Now you took your topi to shine your shoes, your most honorable thing, and you intend shine your shoes. Now if we using deen in order to acquire dunya, then that is the most saddest thing. People who are doing dunya and they are in dunya. But the person who's using deen to acquire dunya, that is a very sad case. So anyway, so this is, we see that this person then, just for the sake of dunya, went and killed his uncle to get more money. He put the body in that locality so that he could get more money. Then what happened, and now the people asked Musa alayhi salam, they couldn't find the murderer, all blaming one another. Musa alayhi salam, you the Nabi of Allah, you let inform us, ask Allah Ta'ala. So Allah ordered that a cow be slaughtered, and a part of the cow, whether it was the tongue, whether it was the tail or any part, put it on this dead person, he will come alive and he will say his murderer. He will say who is his murderer, and it will be known. So they started asking lot of questions, which cow, what color cow, etc. And then finally they said, Insha'Allah. From where there is another very great lesson, all these words, Insha'Allah, Masha'Allah, A'udhu Billah, La Ilaha Illallah, all these are extremely valuable words. Bismillah, very, very valuable words. Just because they said Insha'Allah, then they managed to slaughter that cow, and that person came back to life. They put a piece of, and then now from here, this knowledge of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, what they have got. In fact, the Bani Israel told Musa alayhi salam, are you making a fool out of us? You're making a mockery out of us. We are asking, who's the murderer? You telling us to slaughter a cow? There is no relationship between the two. And he was put a piece of the, so that knowledge, that this by Allah's command, and to have that knowledge, that is what the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So, Maulana Idris Kandilvi rahmatullah alayhi quotes from Allama Abdul Karim Shahristani, who was a great alim of ilm-e kalam, that is to do with our aqaid, beliefs and that. So he has explained in his kitab Al-Milal wal-Nihal that animals, Allah has given them also by instinct knowledge. Like bees, if we see, how do they collect their pollen? How do they fly and come back to the beehive? Where and where they will go, but then to find direction to come back. There are no road signs where they in the jungles or where the bees are, that you must turn here and you must go in this direction. But Allah made it. The ant colony, if we study it, what a fantastic and ajeeb the system is. And Allah says, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرًا. You have got lot of lessons to learn from the animal kingdom. How the animals do, birds that fly, this racing birds, etc. How their direction, their GPS they got. You just leave them to go, and they'll go and they'll get their direction and they fly. Everything in the world, all the animals. So they, by instinct, but the knowledge they have got, Allama writes, that compared to the knowledge of human being, the animals are astonished. That what animal, what knowledge animal and human beings have got. For example, Hazrat Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali wrote, at one place where the monkeys were troubling the people a lot, coming, eating their things, their fruits from the tree, in the house also they come, they take things, etc. So those people put poison around, that the monkeys must eat that poison and they will die. The monkeys came, they said, Dal mein kala hai. Something wrong here. There is something suspicious here. There is a fishy story here. So they went back, left it everything, and they came with a baboon. Like the big doctor, a specialist. He checked up everything, all of them went again. From the jungle they brought an antidote of it. And then they put it, they were eating the antidote. Nothing happened to them. So much how animals, Allah, same, Qari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained, there's a lion, so to say, told the cub, the baby, that in the whole animal world, you must fear no one but insan. Only insan you must fear. So he didn't know who is insan. So the lion mother, father passed away. So he started looking that I have to fear this person, insan. So he saw an elephant, big animal, must be this here, this must be insan, human being. So he asked him, he said, no, I'm not insan. So big and that, no. Giraffe, no. And all other big animals, nothing. One day he saw insan, So he said, thus it is him, but it can't be. He's so small, bird. He's hardly anything. What can he do? I don't have to fear him. I'll eat him up one time. What? He's got nothing in him. But he said, let me ask. He said, yes, I'm his son. So he was shocked. My mother, father told me, I must only fear you. But what are you? He said, I'll show you what I am. So one day he prepared a trap for him. Dug a hole, put grass on top, lion came and lion fell in. So he said, you see, this is what insan is. So the animals, they are astonished at the knowledge of human beings. And human beings, the learned amongst them, the worldly knowledge, scientists, philosophers, mathematicians, they get astonished at the knowledge of the Anbiya alayhi salam, that what knowledge Allah Ta'ala has given them. And then there's people in human beings, when we just can't seem to comprehend, we deny. Like Mi'raj, they just couldn't understand it, they denied it. Like many other things, all the miracles of the Anbiya alayhi salam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the people of Makkah asked the moon to be split in two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it by Allah's command and permission. But then they said it's jadu. So this is when they can't understand it, they just deny it. So on that he writes that what the knowledge all worldly people, scientists, philosophers have got, it is nothing compared to the Anbiya, and they go to the extent of even denying it. The animals don't still deny, they accept. That is, so he says it's not astonishing to think that the animals are even better, which Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are even more there. So this knowledge Allah Ta'ala has given insan. The Anbiya, and then the knowledge which Allah has given the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is the ilme tashri'i, the laws of shariat, or perform namaz, be honest, be upright, all those laws. Then there is another type of knowledge which Allah did not generally give the Anbiya alayhi salam also. And when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam at one time said, I am the most learned, and he was the most learned as far as deen and shariat is concerned, but Allah didn't like that statement to claim, make a claim. So for that Allah Ta'ala told him, meet one banda of mine and see the knowledge I have given to him. Caesar alayhi salam, we read in Surah Kahf that when he met him, and first he refused to, that he must accompany him. He said, you won't understand my work. My work is a different type of work. So he said, I'll make sabr. And then when he went, first he had one people here, some orphans and these type of people, they clubbed together, they bought a ship and they should transport fairy goods, people. So they had recognized Musa alayhi salam and Khizr alayhi salam when they wanted to board the ship. So they took them free on board also, that they are buzurgs, pious people, we won't charge you. But what Musa alayhi salam then, one plank, he took it out and damaged the ship. So he said, these people took us on board free, and now why are you damaging the ship? So I told you, you can't understand my work. So he said, but okay, I'll make sure, give me another chance. So he said, okay. They went, a little child was playing. And then Khizr alayhi salam went, and he killed the child. So he says, now according to Musa alayhi salam's knowledge, murder. How can you do such a thing? He said, I told you. He said, one more chance, then if I still. Then they went somewhere, and there was a town where the people didn't host them. They didn't show them any kindness or anything as travelers, as a musafir. They didn't do anything. But he saw a wall was falling down, he went and built the wall. So he said, people who did good to us, and people who were neutral, did nothing, you harmed them. And these people who were bad to us, you went and do that. I can't. So he said, this is Shahada Firaku Baini Wa Baini. You go your way, I go my way. But he said, let me explain to you now. Then he explained to him that ship, you were poor people, on the way there was a king. And whichever ship is a perfect ship, no fault in it, the king takes it. And he takes it for himself. If there's a fault, he lets it go. So he said, I damaged it, a small little damage. They'll fix it up again, but the whole ship got saved. So now he understood that little boy, he was going to grow up, and he was going to cause his parents also to go into kufr. They loved him so much, and his demands would be that they will also. And we gave him another child in return also. And in that wall, that under that wall, money of some orphans was buried. And they are still very small. If that wall had to fall down, that money would be exposed. And other people will take it. So then he understood. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, may Allah have mercy on Musa. Had he kept quiet, we should have come to know many more secrets. So this is also one part of that which everyone hasn't got. And this is all in the knowledge of Allah. So Allah's knowledge, which is, a person cannot imagine the knowledge of Allah. So all what is happening many times, outwardly we see that it is this harm, that harm, this person is suffering, how those people are suffering, wars are taking place. But Allah, in that complete knowledge, Allah Ta'ala knows. Just another easy example for us to understand, commonly which is mentioned also. That king who liked his hunting, and he went hunting, and his minister, chief minister, used to be always with him. He started, and the chief minister had a habit of saying, "Jo Allah karta hai, so acha karta hai. Whatever Allah does is perfect, is good." So they just started their journey, and the king got hurt on his thumb. He cut it up. There was a gash. And just when you get a gash and cut it, then at that time the pain is quite a bit. Afterwards it subsides. So the minister said, what Allah has done is very good. So the king said, I'm suffering, I got hurt, and you say very good. So the kings were like that. He ordered immediately to put him in jail for 3 days. So again he said, Jo Allah karta hai, so acha kar. What Allah does is good. King carried on with his journey, hunting, and he went out of his boundaries. When he came in a place where there were cannibals, human eaters, they caught the king and they were going to eat him now. But they also had some masalas like we got for Qurbani, that there mustn't be any fault in the animal, the tail, the legs, the eyes, the ears, etc. So when they checked up, they said, no, he's not fit for Qurbani. So they let him go. So now he came, and with great honor and respect, he took out the minister from jail, and he said, I understand now that what you said was right, that whatever Allah does is for the best. If I didn't have that cut, he should have eaten me alive. But just because of that one cut, which will get right, it will get healed soon, so I got saved. So yeah, but he said, when I put you in jail, that also you said, so what Allah does, he does for the best. So what was the good in that? So he says, King, you know we never separate from one another. We are together. So when they caught you, they would have caught me also. You would have got saved because you had that cut. But my body, I got no cuts on me. So they should eat me up. So I stayed 3 days in jail, and I got saved. So Allah's system is working all the time. And whatever is happening, we don't understand. We haven't got the broader picture. We only see that a person was a breadwinner, for example, and he was looking after his paralyzed wife, and the wife was like dependent on him. Now he passed away. Now we wonder, what is happening here? It should have been the opposite. That wife who was like now sickly, old, she should have passed away. And many other things like this in our personal lives also. We wonder why this has happened, why this has happened. So our brains were rasikhuna fil ilm, yaquluna amanna bih, kullu min indi rabbina. Then people who have got that knowledge in that level of yaqeen, that what Allah does is only for the best. One time, one person had passed away in Lanesha, and our Shaykh, he was murdered, unfortunately, there was a robbery and that, and our Shaykh went in visit, make taziyat. So Hazrat explained at that time, that in whichever way a maut comes to a person, and a mu'min especially, whatever, it is just for the best. We don't understand. We look at it, the person is suffering like this, or even sometimes the sickly person, and what difficulties, the family are in difficulties also. That person is going through difficult, but the broader picture which we can't see and we can't understand. So for us it is to totally submit to Allah Ta'ala. And that is, don't go by our logic. Don't go by our psychology and our philosophy and our science and our things. No, what Allah has said, make sure it is what Allah has said. Verify, it is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Once you have verified that, then accept it wholeheartedly. It's not easy. It is a matter of iman being like that. And we find this all the time. People who have, we don't have that yaqeen, then we find fault in this. And those who have that yaqeen, they don't have any difficulty. They accept it wholeheartedly. And the one thing is that those people, in their hearts, they have got that contentment. Outwardly, they might be going to, like the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, Ayyub alayhi salam was ill for so long, or the other Yunus alayhi salam was in the belly of the fish for so long. All this outwardly, it looks all this difficult, but what inwardly? And then this yaqeen, if we have got at the time of mort, for whatever difficulty, a thorn pricked a person. For that also, a person, he puts his pen, for example, always in his top pocket. Now he put it for another time in his other pocket. Now when he looked for it, he didn't find it. And then when he puts his hand in his pocket, he finds it. That little difficulty, there is reward for that also. Any little pareshani a mu'min gets, there is a reward for him also. And by Allah Ta'ala, there is only fadl and only adl. To use even the word zulm in the right of Allah, that is also bi-adabi. So for mu'mineen, there will be only fadl. Allah, fadl means kindness, giving without being worthy of it. That Allah just gives, forgives and gives. And for the non-believers, there will be adl, justice. They will not be wronged in any way whatsoever. Even in this dunya and akhirat also, it's impossible to think, and this comes in our heart, that Allah, na'uzubillah, will make zulam on anyone. It's impossible. And for believers, it's only fadl. Even for those believers who will have to go in Jahannam, still it is Allah's fadl, that they will get cleansed and they will come out. So there is only fadl for with believers. And here in this dunya also, some difficulties we go through, hardships, agony, panic attacks, we are worried what's going to happen, the present condition, what's happening to the Muslims, we are being rewarded for all that also. And what is our real solution is to turn to Allah, to return and go back to Allah Ta'ala. That is the solution. Not to go away from Allah. Come back to the masajid. Come back to Allah Ta'ala. That is. And the first thing is that Allah will put sukoon, peace in the heart. And then conditions also Allah Ta'ala will. And when a person knows Allah's knowledge is so far, and power and qudrat is with no one else besides Allah. Allah has got, Allah is ala kulli shayin qadir, bi kulli shayin alim. Allah knows everything. His qudrat is with everything. So we just, submission is the way of a true believer. That he just submits, to submit? Tafweel. That he submits to Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Hands his matters over to Allah ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq. If we understand that, we can understand many, many things and we'll find peace. Otherwise a person wonders and he's all gets very, very confused that what is happening, that why this is happening, why Muslims are suffering like that, why I'm suffering like that, I read namaz, I'm like a dindar, and this other, my other brother, he's like far from deen, but he's like enjoying here in this world, no problems he has got. All this will get answered if we understand this. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.